This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. My name is Tom, and as always, I'm joined with my co-host, John.
Hi. Hello.
And this week we are talking about Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. John, I can feel the excitement coming off you in your voice.
Yeah, this is totally the most exciting thing about talking about films, you know, especially this. Yeah. Funny story, we did not want to talk about this movie for such a long time. We knew it was going to be a really bad sequel. We got Afterlife and we were like, oh, okay, we don't know where Afterlife is going with this. And then we got this and we were like, should we do it? But we just did it anyway. We were just like, okay, let's see what we've got. And oh my God, this was nothing. There's so much to talk about. What about you, Tom?
Well, I agree, because this film, it really is nothing. And if this wasn't like a franchise film, if this wasn't a legacy sequel, if it wasn't a horse that is already so dead by now that they are continuously beating, if we hadn't already had Afterlife and 2016 Ghostbusters and even Ghostbusters 2, I wouldn't be nearly as done with this. I wouldn't be nearly as critical of it.
Yeah.
You know, really the biggest crime that this film commits is that it's just dull. It's just boring as all hell. And really, that is a huge, huge shame when you look at the first Ghostbusters film, which is a pretty perfect film. It's almost indescribable. All the right pieces come together. And we are now on our fourth attempt to recapture that. And every single sequel in this franchise has ranged from bad to terrible. And I think that this might be the worst one yet, simply because it was so nothing, so boring, so unremarkable. And I don't think you can say that about any of the other films. You know, Ghostbusters 2, it has this strange, it's almost too goofy. There's somewhat of a charm to that. The 2016 Ghostbusters, similar to Ghostbusters 2, it has a kind of like campness to it. It has a ridiculous quirky quality that makes it kind of work. Ghostbusters Afterlife, it has all the right intentions behind of it. And it's a really, like, you know, it's a well-meaning story, you know, about Family Guy. About Family Guy? Nope. About Family
Guy. Oh, that'd be crazy.
Brian,
you know,
Brian
Family Guy
was Ghostbusters.
Yeah, the horse is here.
Oh dear. Well, it's about family. It's about legacy. I don't know what this film is about.
Yeah. I don't know what the theme was, essentially.
Right?
Like, I don't know what that, yeah.
When you look at everything that this franchise has done, this four-film franchise plus a reboot, this is the one that has just the least for me. It doesn't seem to be made with any kind of labor of love. It's not doing anything really exciting, or it's not that out there. It's not trying to kind of spin the original anyway. It's just there. They kind of based this film off The Real Ghostbusters, which is an animated show from like the 80s. And the kind of idea is that, oh yeah, it's an episode of that come to life. And it's like, okay,
oh,
I've never seen the show.
Where is it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, where's
the nostalgia for that? I mean, it is nostalgia bait in a way, but where is that? I just not feel like there was like fun. There was no fun at all, apart from one scene. But there's no fun. It was just boring, so sad. It's one of those type of films that you just gonna walk out of the cinema. But me and Tom, we stuck through it. We stuck through those terrible films and we watched and we were like, okay, we're gonna sit here and watch it. And oh my God, I never felt so bored watching a film. And that says a lot, right? They're meant to be like emotional. They have something to say. They have something to like reach to the audience, you know. And nothing. This was nothing in this film. As I said, yeah, this is just horrible. This is terrible.
Yeah, I feel like I don't know who the target audience for this is. Is it kids? Is it adults who have grown up with Ghostbusters? I don't know. I think it's just my dad. My dad, who like really enjoys all of the legacy. Like, you know, he this week rewatched No Way Home and The Flash. And was like, yeah, No Way Home is good, but The Flash is even better. And I'm like, okay, calm down, please. Please.
No.
Yeah, good for him, I guess. But like, yeah, I have no idea like who is going to enjoy this film.
I don't like Rotten Tomatoes, but Rotten Tomatoes gave it 43% on yes. there, and then 6.6 out of 10 on IMDb, and then Empire gave it a 2 out of 5, which is quite generous.
I can't fault them on that. It's okay, this year has been a very strange year so far.
Yes.
We've had June Part 2, which is just a fantastic blockbuster, just a fantastic cinema. Film. And you know, we've had plenty of smaller, brilliant films, but when it comes to like, the big films that have been released this year, we've had Argylle, which was similar to Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, bland and uninspired. We had Madam Web, which was funny, I guess, but also had nothing to say and was so strangely plotted and edited. And then we have this, which somehow, I don't really know why, I don't know how, this is worse than both of those films.
Yeah.
This is a film that has
combined
so few redeeming qualities. And it's disappointing because it's competently made. The effects yes. are fine. The acting is fine for the most part. It's just like, it's there. Like, I much prefer something like Madame Web, where a lot of it is strangely flat acting and, you know, this really wacky editing and this narrative that makes no sense. I prefer something like that than something that very clearly is well made. Like, there's a lot of interesting effects here and there's a lot of practical and CGI stuff that works together. Some of the ghost designs are really cool and there are some like intriguing ideas. It really annoys me that all of that has been wasted. I much prefer something yeah. where it all kind of like comes crashing down than something that has interesting ideas and is competently put together but is ultimately just nothing.
Yeah. Should we get into spoilers?
Let's do it. Right, okay. Briefly explain the plot for those who don't know.
The Spengler family returns to the iconic New York City firehouse where the original Ghostbusters have taken ghostbusting to the new level. When the discovery of an ancient artifact unleashes an evil force, Ghostbusters must unite to protect their home and save the world from a second ice age.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah, give me some specifics. What was it that you so hated about this film?
The story was so convoluted. There were so many things that were happening and there was no natural flow of like what's going on. It felt like I was watching Avengers Infinity War, but worse with editing, you know, with how you're trying to follow with the characters. And the worst part about the story was how it was trying to integrate loads of like character arcs for Phoebe. Phoebe is like the main character for the story, I guess. And we were like following her story like, oh, okay, she wants to be respecting the Spengler legacy. But then there's the other character arc where she wants to have a strong communication with her mom. And there's the other character arc, which is about the idea that Phoebe is like, oh, explaining what if ghosts are not actually bad, they're actually harmless. And then the fourth one, she's just trying to prove that she is a Ghostbuster. And they just did nothing with that. Honestly, that was the film. That was the film that was trying to like navigate its way through. And it was just so confusing. Why would you need to add so many layers to the story, which can be good, but not in this context where you're trying to give an audience the idea of something's bad really happening, but then there's so many layers to other things. Like with Phoebe, we're following her story, but there's so many things that are happening at once and you get so lost into it. And the film has to remind you there's a particular plot line that's happening. There's so many plot lines that happen and it's like, oh my God, I have to go back to that. And why do we need this many? It's stupid.
Yeah, I just like, this film is so crammed full. It's interesting that you compare this to Infinity War. When Infinity War came out, the big thing was, how are they going to balance all of these characters?
Exactly.
And they do
exactly.
it, but they do it just barely. It's a good film and it manages to balance the characters, but it's not perfect. It does struggle. Some characters feel like they're just there and don't get explored. And that is a film that is 2.5 hours long. And here we have a film that is under 2 hours long and has maybe just a little bit less characters than Infinity War, but still a lot of people. And it just kind of gets me thinking, like, seriously, why do we need it? Like, we've moved away from wherever Ghostbusters Afterlife was set. We've gone back to New York. So surely we can leave some of those characters behind. We can leave Lucky behind. Lucky, who does nothing in the film and is kind of almost forgotten about at the end. I noticed that she was the only character. This is Celeste O'Connor's character, who was recently in Madame Web. She is the only character who we don't get like a shot of the ice melting away from her. Like when they're all in peril at the end, the film doesn't really care about her. To the point where I did think she was going to die when she first faces off against the big main ghost. We have Podcast returning. Podcast who, like, does Podcast even have a podcast? So why is Podcast podcast called podcast if he doesn't have a podcast, huh? I just don't understand that character.
Wow, that's a philosophical debate. Is he a podcast or is he talking about podcast? Wait, where's the
truly
podcast?
A question of the ages. Wow. We will be asking this just eons in the future.
Why interject pointless characters into the story? It's so stupid.
And then on top of that, they're introducing new characters. You've got James Acaster as this kind of like British scientist who is so just nothing. Like, you hire James Acaster, who is a very funny guy and has a very particular sense of wit, and you just make him another scientist. It feels like he's some version of what Egon was in the first film, but without that level of charm and without that likability, which is crazy because James Acaster is a likable guy in general. I don't really know why he's in this film. He doesn't bring anything to it. If anything, he's just a plot convenience. There's a time when they're like, oh my god, all the proton packs, they're gone. How will we defeat them? And it's like, hey, it's me, James Acaster. I have a load of proton packs here for you to use. And it's like, oh, why even introduce the fact that the proton packs were gone in the first place? There's a lot of this that just kind of feels like, there's, you know, no overly convenient. Also, Kumail Nanjiani's character being this like fire starter. There's so much that goes into this that roughly you could half the amount of characters in this film. Like, if you think about all the original Ghostbusters, they are here for no good reason. They are just here because they were in the original, I guess. Like, none of them have anything interesting. There's a moment where Winston and Ray are like, yeah, these are our golden years. We should be spending them relaxing. It's like, no, I want to spend them busting ghosts. And it's like, okay, so what is the argument here? Don't waste your life. They don't really explore that. And if you want to talk about Bill Murray, I have never seen someone who was more just there before.
Why do I feel like that he was just an NPC just in the film?
Exactly.
Like giving out like one-liners and just like,
yes.
Oh, there's an enemy. Haha, I gotta make jokes. And that was it. He was just there. He was just there and just trying to be this NPC. Yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like the ending, all of the original Ghostbusters have to flick a switch, essentially, on the ghost containment unit. And that's like all they do. And it's like a triumphant moment when they all flick the switch together. And it's like, okay, I don't care. Because there's nothing in the character journey that has led them to this point. There's nothing really that they have to prove that they didn't prove in the original. This film brings back Walter Peck, but he's the mayor now. And he's still on his whole, like, all the Ghostbusters are terrible for the city. And, you know, the containment unit is bad. We did this. We did this in the first film and we did it well. And that film proved that the Ghostbusters, you know, were worthy to New York, and Peck got destroyed by a bunch of falling marshmallow. It was brilliant. That's all you need. You don't have to rehash this same story again and again. Similar to how Ghostbusters Afterlife just did the Gozer storyline again. This just does, you know, the kind of like environmental, we're shutting down the Ghostbusters part of the story again. And I just felt like banging my head against a brick wall being like,
yes.
Is there any originality to this?
The worst part is that we did not see any character's journey or character arcs in this film. The film was promoting to be a world-ending demon ghost that will just destroy Earth with a second ice age or something. There was no conflict. There was nothing intense about this ghost that was so powerful. The crazy part about this was that everything was saved because of a ghost who was just there, and she did not have anything to show that this is an emotional ghost. She was just there like, hey, I can play chess, and then just sabotage the whole thing with the orb, I guess. It's weird because it's like there was nothing to like really connect with her at all. We do not learn the ghost's name, I believe. I think
her name was Melody.
Yeah, Melody. Yeah, cool.
You remember Melody, the memorable character?
Yeah. Of course I do, right? Of course I do.
These last two films have had a couple of instances of, like, human ghosts. We had Egon in the last film, and we now have Melody. It's a boring concept. I think the cool thing about Ghostbusters is that all the ghosts were freaky. They were all, even if
scary.
it's like the librarian who gets a pointless cameo in this. The cool thing about the librarian isn't that she looks like a human. It's that she comes alive into this horrible monster and goes, ah! Like, you know, it's the fact that it's just, like, a human but a ghost is super boring. And I swear it felt like they were doing this strange queer baiting thing with her and Phoebe. Like, it was strangely,
I got that as like, well, I thought,
yeah,
I was like,
right,
wait, what is going on? I don't know, what is this relationship trying to tell us? Like, what's going on here? I don't know what's, I thought there was something to go along with that, but no, they just go to a different direction. I don't know why they did that. What was the point of that? That was just so weird.
Yeah, and there's this whole bit where Phoebe gets in a lot of trouble for destroying the lion in front of the library. And they're like, Phoebe, you've messed it all up. And she's like, okay, I'm going to continue to mess things up. And she ends up...
She never learns. She never learns in the story.
She never learns. It's frustrating because none of the characters do. You've got this, as you said, like really kind of convoluted arc for Phoebe. But for all the other characters, none of them really have an arc and nothing to learn. Like, you know, Finn Wolfhard's character, Trevor. There's a moment when somebody yells his name and I just couldn't help thinking of Neville in Harry Potter with his toad. Trevor! Like, I don't know why he's called Trevor. At the beginning, he's like, I'm a man. He has this whole weird like subplot with Slimer. Slimer, who's
I'm
only 18. There because,
I'm
like,
going to do everything by myself.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah,
what I'm
yeah.
going
to
do.
And it's like, okay. Like, at the end, he gets tossed the keys and they're like, Trevor, you drive. And it's like, okay, great. Is that character arc? I don't even know. Like, Paul Rudd's character, Gary. Why are all the names so stupid, man?
Gary.
Like, Gary and Trevor? Come on. Be serious. Oh, Gary. His whole thing is like, oh, am I a dad to this family? Am I just like, you know, what am I? Like, can I be a parent? And it's, this stuff is so like bare bones and gets so little resolution and exploration throughout. And none of it's even funny. It's a Ghostbusters film. I smiled once. And it's this weird banjo joke. I don't even know, like, what, you know, the moment when when Trevor's got like a banjo and he kind
of
goes,
that was
like,
so out of place.
What?
Even
it was weird.
I was just like, what are we watching? This is so weird. And yeah, none of the characters, they just don't have any flair or anything to like really give the film interest. But the Ghostbusters were there, like, they were just there. Like, Dan Aykroyd's character, like Ray, he's just there. He's just there as well. He's just like trying to be the adventurous type of guy, you know, like he's trying to find more ghosts. They just don't go anywhere. That is the film. If this film was like being in loops, you know, you're stuck in a loop and you just feel like these characters are going nowhere. They have nothing. They have nothing to show, or the film has nothing to go anywhere. It goes nowhere. You're just stuck. You're just stuck in the cinema and the film goes nowhere.
It really brought nothing and did nothing. And I do have an email here from Samuel Masson, who says,
thank God, Sam, save us, please. We have to talk about something else. Peak.
Okay.
We need to talk about Peak or something like that. Yeah.
Okay, he says, hello there. Frozen Empire was not a film I was looking forward to, and I was half right to feel that way. It wasn't good, but it wasn't bad. It was just okay. Let's start with some positives. Ooh. I like that the OG crew are back and are very much part of this story and are integrated into it rather than being reduced to cameos. Winston was a particular standout. Seeing him be this boss businessman-like character and almost like a proud grandpa was a good way to utilize the character in the story. Paul Rudd is charming as usual, and it was great to see Patton Oswalt, even if he was severely underused. He can do more than expo dump for a scene. Garaka, in my opinion, was a decent villain. There was definitely a creepy and spooky vibe and atmosphere there, and that's what you want from a Ghostbusters villain. Also, having ghosts pop up everywhere and having incidents helps to build this world and add life to it. This is so much better than having to appear just because the plot demands it. And from there we go to the bad. There were just too many characters in the movie. You had the OG Busters, the cast of Afterlife were back, new characters, and then side characters. There were too many for them to have their own meaningful impact on the story. But they tried to give stories to them all anyway, and with the film being under 2 hours, the stories just got in the way of each other, and it just got a bit messy. Was it just me, or did it take a while to kick in? Felt like we were near the end of the film before it really got going. Maybe I was just tired. So that being said, there were good things to Frozen Empire, and there were bad things. And the result? Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, just okay. 5 out of 10. Thanks for the pod, gents, and take care. Sam, P.S. Any thoughts on the new Doctor Who trailer? Thanks for the email, Sam.
Thank you, Sam. We're just still processing Ghostbusters at the moment. We're just still in therapy about it.
Well,
let's
talk about Garaka.
Okay, Garaka.
The villain. Did you think Garaka was any good?
No. It was just like this entity, like it was going to be like this eldritch being that was going to end the world or something like that. But no, he just gets done in like 2 minutes.
Can I say as well, why does every Ghostbusters film have to have world-ending stakes? Not a single one out of any of the five have had anything other than like a ghost army and, you know, like New York being under threat. You know, I guess last time in Afterlife, it wasn't New York, but it was still the world, you know, like, you know, a godlike being comes back from the dead. It's like, can we not just have a simple story, take it back to base? 1986, where the Ghostbusters are stuck in a hotel with a single ghost, and it's just like a, you know, a 90-minute romp where they're trying to get, you know, it's funny, and it's, you know, I thought that, I agree with Sam, the CGI was good, you know, Garaka was an interesting design, and the CGI was decent, but I just don't think it was anything memorable. You know, it's not Gozer, it's not even like the painting guy from the second one, it's not even like the big classic ghost from Ghostbusters 2016, it's just like this entity that doesn't really mean anything. So yeah, I wasn't too thrilled by the presence of Garaka.
He was just not an interesting villain, and it's just like, okay, it would have been interesting if this film was like a simple like mystery of like ghosts or something, like a detective story in the side of like Ghostbusters, rather than this world ending consequences stuff. Why do we need to go back to that? Why do we need to go back to the world ending type of thing? Come on, it's not like Kirby fights God in every game. I'm not kidding, like Kirby will just, in the first step you're like, oh, I gotta help a kitten, and then in the last fight he'll literally fight God. That's insane. This is what the film felt like. It was like, there's something spooky going on. Oh, we got to call the Ghostbusters. And then at the end, it's literally an eldritch being, but gets defeated in the matter of like 10 seconds.
Yeah, see, like that, I think that kind of progression works for the original, but we've done it so many times now that it kind of loses its appeal. I do think that there are some interesting concepts. I think Sam's point about Winston being a businessman and like his whole thing with like the ghost research facility, that's a fairly interesting expansion. But again, I just don't feel like that was anything that compelling. I don't think that any of it like,
like, there's, you know, no nothing, emotional stakes.
Like, yeah, I feel like that's kind of the problem. So
I haven't watched that yet, Sam. I'm very sorry that I haven't watched the new Doctor Who trailer. I'm just like trying to keep everything fresh in my mind.
I have watched the Doctor Who trailer. I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm a little bit worried after the 60th and Church on Ruby Road were a little bit like, I enjoyed them, but they weren't anything, you know, that I hadn't seen before. But there are some interesting things in the Doctor Who trailer, like the prehistoric dinosaur stuff and like decrepit TARDIS. Like there are some interesting things that I'm curious to see where that goes. So yeah, Doctor Who trailer was much more enjoyable than Ghostbusters Afterlife. Not Afterlife, Frozen Empire. What are we even on at this point? I think that let's finish it here, right? They shouldn't make any more. This is this should be the end of it. Every single sequel and reboot has just proven that you can't recapture lightning in a bottle. There's no way. This is just tragic.
Just leave it. Just leave it alone. When people say, oh, we need sequels to the Back to the Future, we do not. This is an example of what happens when you try to reboot a franchise terribly. You'll just go off the rails and think about like, oh, we need to add extra characters to the story. Oh no, we got to bring back the OG Ghostbusters. No. We got to add in the same story again. Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that whole thing. Hollywood needs to change. We do not want the same formula again and again and again, and it gets tiring. And you do not want your audience to be like, oh great, films suck now, we don't have like the magic anymore. So I'm like, just create new concepts. That's the problem. This is just an example. Just please don't do this ever again. Don't make this film like this ever again.
I really hope the fact that this film wasn't critically liked and probably won't do well at the box office, I hope that that tells Sony all they need to know and that they should stop this, because it's similar to Jurassic Park and what we got with the last Jurassic World film. It's just tiring. I'm happy to keep on discussing them because the landscape is quite interesting and why they still do this. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm happy to give anything a shot. And I do think that the right person can make a cracking Ghostbusters film. If they want to keep on making them, fine, and I'll watch them. And if one of them finally is the sequel that is possible to be made, then brilliant, but we just don't have that here. So it's really, really disappointing. What are you going to give Ghostbusters Frozen Empire out of 10?
I want to say 0, but we can't give 0. I'm going to say 1.
Okay, I'm going for 2. Thank you everybody for listening. If you're listening on YouTube and you liked it, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, you can follow and give us a 5-star review if you think we're worthy. And next week, we're going to be doing Kung Fu Panda 4, which is another fourth film in a franchise. Hopefully that one is good. And you can send us an email at ourstimefilmpod@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on Kung Fu Panda 4. Ask us any questions or I'll answer it right here on the podcast next week.
Yes, so you can follow us on Instagram at OuterTimeFilmPod to see our incredible thumbnails from Zane Aswell, on Twitter for more thoughts from Tom, and TikTok to see edited clips, which are all also on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts. And you can find links to that all in the description below. Thanks to L. James Mayer for the excellent theme, and Ron Phillips for vocals as always. And I think that's everything. And please never make sequels like this ever again. Please don't.
I agree.
Take what you can.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.